You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, many of us have probably heard a story like this. There's a man, and he murders a woman in cold blood, and then the woman's family, they approach the man and they say to him, "We forgive you." Isn't that extraordinary that someone would do such a horrible thing and yet they would receive the gift of forgiveness? Let's know that it's even more extraordinary that God chose us sinners to be his own, that God decided to adopt us right into his family, and that God purchased us, not with money, but with the precious blood of his only begotten Son. Those things are extremely extraordinary. Let's also couple that with knowing full well that we have done wrong. In the reading today from Amos, it talked about a plumb line. A plumb line is to determine whether something is straight or not. Oftentimes, I think when we try to assess our own lives, we tend to compare between myself and the guy next door. But what is God saying, though? God is saying that is not a legitimate comparison. It always needs to be between me and God's holy word. And when we do that, we find out that we are way, way, way out of alignment. We find out that we are truly poor, miserable sinners. So knowing that is true, shouldn't we be so amazed, so thankful that God has taken such great action for people like you and like me in order to bless us forever and ever? Let's get into Ephesians chapter 1 as we find out more about this topic. Going to verse 3, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. As God the Father chose us in his Son before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." For all people, when they enter this world, they are in sin. They are dead in that sin, and they are on the path of eternal condemnation. But then, though, God in his grace, he works in our lives. He works through holy baptism. He works through his holy word by the Holy Spirit. And he opens our eyes to see our sin, to see that we are in great trouble. He opens our eyes to see who Jesus is and what he has done. And he also enables us then to receive that gift of faith by which we are trusting in Jesus. And when God does that, we can agree with St. Paul that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is most worthy of our praise. Think about it. We were in such a horrible situation. All because of the work of God, we are now in such a wonderful situation. Let us see it and rejoice. Let's even think about it like this. Even before creation itself, even before anything existed other than God, God knew at that time that Adam and Eve would fall into sin. God also knew that we would all inherit that nature to sin, and God also knew that after we were born, God knew that we would have many, many, many of our own sins. You would think that God, knowing all of that, God would have said, scrap that whole plan of creation. It's going to be such a mess. Forget it. But what did God do, though? God went forward with the creation, knowing all of that, and even before God created, he chose us in Christ to be his holy children. What an amazing thing that God has done. Going on with our reading, we pick up in verse 5. "In love, God the Father predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he blessed us in the beloved." In other words, with which he blessed us in Jesus Christ. Try to imagine this situation. You're watching possibly television, maybe something on the computer, and you see a very sad video of an orphaned child in a third world country. That child is in desperate need of everything, of food, of clothing, of love, of forgiveness, all those different things. So you make a decision right then and there out of pure love for that child. You decide that you're going to do whatever is necessary regarding time, regarding money, regarding sacrifice. You're going to do whatever you have to do in order to adopt that child into your own family. So you decide to do it, and then you actually follow through and you do it. That's a little bit like predestination. So God, before the creation of the world, he saw ahead and he knew our horrible situation, but he decided before creation that he was going to take all the necessary action to make us his very own, to bring us into his family and to love us and provide for us forever and ever. So he decided it, and praise God, he followed through and he did it. Going on in our reading, we pick up in verse 7. In him, that is in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. A lot of rich and difficult theology packed into that little reading. Let's see if we can unpack a little bit of it. First of all, thinking about a child in Ethiopia, let's say you wanted to adopt a child from there, the average cost is about $30,000 to go through the whole process of that adoption. What about God adopting us? Was it $1 million, $1 billion, $1 trillion? No, there's only one thing that could purchase us for God, and that was the holy, precious blood of his Son. That's how valuable you are. That's how valuable each person in the whole world is. God values us so much that he was willing to pay that price in order to have us be his very own. We might say, though, why was that necessary? It is necessary because we are all poor, miserable sinners, and in order to be with God, we have to be holy, we have to be sinless, we have to be righteous, and no amount of money in the whole world can make us that way. There's no way that we can wash ourselves clean. The only way to be that way is by the holy, precious blood of Jesus. So what did God do? He showed the depth of his great love for us by sending his Son. And then what did Jesus do? First of all, he had to live the life that we can't live. God says to all of us, be perfect. I can't do it. You can't do it. No one can do it. So what did Jesus do? He was perfect in our place, perfect as our perfect substitute. And then God says in his word, the wages of sin is death. You've sinned, you've messed up, you deserve to be punished forever. So the second step then is that all of that bad stuff, God the Father put it on Jesus, and then he received our eternal punishment. Those two things had to be met, the perfect life and the full punishment, and they were both met, they were both finished in Jesus Christ. What good news! Think about God redeeming us. What does that mean? That means he bought us back. So he made us, we belong to him, and then being rebellious children, we ran away from home. We went and did our own thing. We lived in sin, but God said, I still love you. I want you back with me. So he redeemed us. He bought us again with the precious blood of Jesus. When it comes to our salvation, what is our part and what is God's part? We do have a part in our salvation. Did you know that? This might sound shocking to you, but we do have a part, and the part is the fact that we have sinned. That's our part. If we had no sin, we wouldn't need to be saved, but our part is that we have sinned, and everything to do with saving us is all on God completely. So it's not attending church, it's not reading the Bible, it's not living a good life. None of that is saving us. Now, those things should be part of our lives, yes, but none of those things save us. We have sinned, and then God did everything in Christ to make us his very own. Think about the Ethiopian orphan for a moment. When that orphan finds out that he has been adopted, is he going to be happy about that? If he kind of understands the whole premise that right now my clothing is very limited, I'm almost starving, and the living conditions are terrible. And then if somehow he could understand that I've been adopted into a family where I'm going to have abundant clothing, abundant food, people who love me, that orphan, even though he's not yet there in the home, he's going to be pretty happy. So he's anticipating it. What about us? God has adopted us. Are we in God's house yet? Are we in heaven? Are we all settled there with God forever? We're not, but he wants us to know the adoption has taken place. God has made the promise. So he's saying, as you continue through this veil of tears, know that in the end, it will be wonderful, all because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Going on in our reading, we come to verse 11. In him, that is in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. Have you ever inherited something from someone? If you have, you probably inherited it either from someone who was a close family member or a very dear friend, and you inherited whatever you did because of the close relationship that you had with that person. When you heard that you were in the will, you were probably happy about that, grateful that you would be included in the will. So that's one thing, but when you actually received the inheritance, that was something else. God wants us to know that he has included us in his will. Now, we haven't gotten the inheritance yet, but we've been included in the will. How did God do that? He worked by the Spirit through holy baptism. He worked through the Holy Word in order to choose us, in order to make us his own. And he says, I have an inheritance for you. We don't have it yet, but we are in the will, and he wants us to know it is coming. Notice in the final part today, picking up in verse 13, in him, that is in Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So when we were baptized into Christ, God put a mark on us. God identified us as his very own. I have my sermon copy here today, and there are copies very similar to this out in the narthex you could pick up, but this one here, though, has markings on it. So I marked it in such a way I know this one here is my copy. Those out there, those are your copies. So just like I have marked this, God has put a mark on us. He wants us to know he has marked us, he has made us his very own. Also, when we think about being God's own, God has given us something that will encourage us, that will assure us that we are his own. He has given us the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is God's promise. That's God's guarantee that we will eventually receive the full inheritance. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. so that Holy Spirit dwelling within us, as we find ourselves in the Bible, reading God's holy word, the Spirit is working through that word in order to confirm to us that, in fact, God has adopted us, that we belong to him, and that one day we're going to receive the full inheritance. These are wonderful, wonderful things that God has done. The Holy Spirit is also with us to help us in other ways, too. He is there to help us understand the Bible when we read it. He is dwelling within us in order to convict us of our sins. So as we read the Bible, this is the perfect will of God. As we make the comparison between God's perfect will and how we're living our lives, we see a difference. The Holy Spirit is showing us that difference. He's convicting us of that. He's making us sorry for our sins. And then what does he do? The Holy Spirit is pointing us to Jesus Christ. He is assuring us that in Christ, because of his living, suffering, and dying, we have God's forgiveness. He is also giving us power so that with the joy we have in Christ, we go forward and tell others about who God is, about the Bible, about his Son, about how much he loves us, and about how God wants everyone to be with him forever and ever. And finally, the Holy Spirit is with us in order to keep us in the one true faith. For many people, they probably trust in themselves, in what they are doing. God wants us to know from his word that is not the way. The way is Jesus Christ. He is the only way. He is the way for everyone. As God keeps us in the Bible, the Holy Spirit keeps showing us we are not the way, keeps showing us that Jesus is the way, keeps us trusting in Jesus, and he will do so until finally our lives end and God takes us to paradise. Let's assess the situation. Let's realize the horror that we deserve. Let's realize the great gifts that we have now and forever in Jesus Christ, and let us know that we are so, so blessed. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for loving us. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for living in our place and dying for our sins. And dear Holy Spirit, we thank you for being with us, for being our guarantee of the amazing eternity that is yet to come for us, all because of the finished work of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.